Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
I got an alert from NOLA Ready yesterday evening saying dense fog advisory issued until 9 a.m. by the National Weather Service. And as a result of that, I guess, of the fog, there's a rolling convoy southbound, one lane on the causeway northbound. You're restricted to one lane at 35 miles an hour. So other than the dense fog advisory that's in effect until 9 o'clock, cloudy, highs today of 74. Chance for showers tomorrow, but that's primarily early, as I understand it. Highs of 70 tomorrow after the front comes through. Then looking at Super Bowl week, highs of 65 Saturday, 70 on Sunday, 71 Monday, nothing but sunshine, 70 on Tuesday, some clouds roll in. 40% chance for showers on Wednesday, highs of 72, then 77 and 78 for a high on Thursday and Friday. And let's hope we have Chamber of Commerce weather for the entire nation to see and get them ready to come down and visit New Orleans. Patrick Penfield joins us now, professor of supply chain management at Syracuse University. Morning, Patrick. How are you?
Good, Tommy. Good morning to you, too.
Last time we spoke to you was after the Baltimore Bridge disaster, and now they got that crash at Reagan. Not at Reagan, I shouldn't say that. And the Potomac flight heading into Reagan International and not Dulles. I presume you've flown into that airport a lot?
Yeah, I have, and that's just a horrific accident. So you hate to hear about things like that, but seems to be an uptick in those types of situations that have been happening recently.
Have you seen a lot of Black Hawk helicopters? Because I'm seeing things on the internet of people on Twitter, rather, of them posting videos of seeing the helicopters as their planes landing and so forth. I know that is probably the most secure airspace in the country, given the, and again, we're not talking about Dulles, we're talking about Reagan, which is right there by everything in D.C. And it would seem an odd place to have training missions, but do you know anything about that?
No, I don't, Tommy. I think it's probably maybe due to the president and maybe some of the things that are going on in Washington these days.
I see. Perhaps that has something to do with it. Let's talk about egg prices and supply chain. What is the deal with the price of eggs, and how do you get an average price? Because somebody texted in said, I didn't find the eggs are that bad. Our price of eggs are that found the price of eggs are that bad. Walmart has them for $4.20 a dozen. Now, I guess eggs aren't just eggs, and you can go from small to extra large to brown to organic and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, Tommy, you're absolutely correct. So there's, different sizes, different variations. And so, again, some of your listeners may not be seeing that huge price increase. But if they were to live in California, you're talking on average over $9 a dozen.
Wow.
And some of that has to do with some of the regulations and the cage-free egg laws that they have out there.
So I always thought the chicken should get paid extra for extra large eggs. That's just me, Patrick, the way I look at it, because, we're involved in the purchase of eggs. The chicken, they're committed in the laying of eggs, right? But let's talk about the overall outlook for bird flu and chickens and farmers and regulations and grocery prices also in general, because I know President Trump, force of habit, said that he was going to lower grocery prices. And I think it's one thing to stop prices from going up, but to lower them is another thing. Exactly. Talk about the whole grocery price thing and supply chain and how rapidly something like that goes up or down, please.
Sure. So, Tommy, it's all about supply and demand, right? And so most of your listeners know this, is that, the more demand you have, less supply, prices go up. And so that's kind of what's happening within the egg supply chain. So the big issue is the avian flu. And so what we're seeing, it's decimating flocks. So you have one hen that gets detected with avian flu, you have to cull the whole flock. And so it's very concerning. And the CDC actually has some information on their website. And I'm shocked at how many flocks have been killed in just the month of January, just due to avian flu detection. So what happens, Tommy, is when you go ahead and you cull a whole flock, you know, that an egg producer has, then they got to, you know, replenish, right? And it takes 5 months, 5 to 6 months before a hen can actually lay an egg. So if you think about this, Tommy, you know, if you're going ahead and just, again, culling these flocks, you're going to have less supply. And, you know, unfortunately, demand does go up in, you know, the past holidays, right? So that causes it. You know, winter months, usually people are eating more inside. And so, again, you're just seeing this uptick in demand. And unfortunately, the supply is just not keeping up. So this is really a horrific situation. The USDA in the beginning of January had predicted a 3% increase in prices. Then they later changed it to 11%. Then I did some analysis, and I said, it's got to be above 20%. And then recently, the USDA just changed their numbers to 20% also. So, yeah, I expect, again, with your listeners, they may not see that locally just because different areas are being impacted differently. So some of the large egg producers are getting hit pretty hard. I'm just shocked at just looking at a egg producer and having to kill over 3 million hens. And I just recently saw this in the website. So it seems like there's an uptick of the avian flu in January, so which is very concerning.
I saw a movie over the weekend. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Rams. Have you ever seen it?
I have not, Tommy.
It's about a couple of Australian sheep farmers, and the herd is detected with some kind of disease, and they have to wipe out the entire herd and then sanitize the building. And I thought about the whole egg situation and the avian flu through that prism, and not to give anything away, but the guy keeps a couple of sheep and lets them loose and all that stuff, but it keeps them in his house and it covers it up with air freshener. And, you know, that kind of begged my, because if you keep a couple of sheep in the house, I think people are going to know it. That's not the point. The point is when a farmer is faced with, as you said, culling, basically he's killing every hen that he has, right? They have to what, go in and decontaminate the place after the bird flu?
Yeah, absolutely, Tommy. So, you know, this is really kind of a sad situation. So, again, you know, they have to take biosecurity measures. So, you know, and this is really kind of gets where it gets really perplexing. So these cage-free egg laws, and this is where, you know, you don't have these hens in cages, you know, they actually can go ahead and, you know, they have free reign. In some places, it's a lot of free reign. Other places, it's not. So the bird flu is spread through geese, gooses, aquatic, you know, wild birds. And so it doesn't take much. And so the geese and the goose, they seem to have somewhat of immunity towards the bird flu, but the hens do not. You know, it can one hen, once it actually gets infected, can die instantly. I mean, it's amazing how quickly and how fast this can actually go through a flock. So, I think this is the dilemma. If you are an egg producer, you know, you're trying to come up with all types of biosecurity measures. So, you know, there's no way that your chickens can get impacted by the flu. But it is extremely difficult, you know, just because of all the wild birds.
All right, let me pick it up. We come back. We're talking to our friend Patrick Penfield, a professor of supply chain practice at Syracuse University. We're also going to talk about the price chain as it relates to food supply chains and food chains. And the grocery prices that we pay and how quickly something can come down because of inflation, the farmer has to pay more to either feed the flock and raise the flock and then produce it, if you want to use that phrase, or whether it's grow crops. Well, those prices are already baked in or cooked into that product or piece of meat. So I don't know how the prices can come down right away. 621 traffic now, WWL. 626, Tommy Tucker, WWL. More with CBS News and Dave Cohen in about 4 minutes about that midair flight between a Black Hawk helicopter and an American Eagle flight. And now they're saying numerous news outlets reporting that there were some pretty elite American figure skaters and two Russian world champions supposed to be on that flight. Athletes, coaches, and family members returning home from the National Development Camp held in conjunction with the U.S. Figure Skating Championships that happened over the weekend. So we'll have more on that. Patrick Penfield's our guest professor of supply chain practice at Syracuse University. Patrick, somebody texted in. This is a great question. Do free-range chickens increase the chance of avian flu? And how do these birds get the avian flu, and how do you prevent it?
Yeah, excellent question by our listener, Tommy. Absolutely. So, yeah, when you have free-range chickens, they're more susceptible to being in contact with wild birds.
So this and could be a self-inflicted wound where regulations require in states free-range chickens, which increase, or am I jumping to conclusions here?
No, Tommy, you're absolutely correct. Yeah, this is the dilemma. So, unfortunately, when you have this cage-free laws that are in place, it does, you know, lead the hens to being more susceptible to bird flu. So, you know, the key thing is again, you have to if you're in that type of state where you have a cage-free type of laws, you have to make sure you have really good biosecurity measures in place where, you know, you're getting rid of puddles, you're, you know, protecting the birds from other wild birds. I mean, it's pretty significant and very costly.
How does this spread, this bird flu, Patrick?
You know, it's just through the air. And so, unfortunately, it can be through the air. It can be through water. It can be through, you know, feces. It's pretty, you know, again, very transmissible.
I remember Garland Robinette, guy worked here 12, 15 years ago, was talking about bird flu then. And he was talking about it eventually jumping to humans. That was a long, long time ago. But if you were to plot this on a graph or on a chart, would you see it increasing? Is this becoming more and more of a problem, at least for the avian population?
Yeah, absolutely. So the problem also is that the virus is mutating. And so, you know, with chickens, they can't actually get any immunity towards it. Maybe over time, maybe, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years. But again, if the virus keeps mutating, you're not going to have, you know, that resistance to that particular form of virus.
So 100 million hens have been killed so far, right? Had to have been destroyed so far?
Yeah, absolutely. 147 million, Tommy.
So somebody's going to have to pay for that, and that never goes away, the increase in that. I mean, do farmers ever recover those costs, or if you call it a chicken farmer, I guess, right? A rancher?
Yeah, absolutely not. Yeah, so you're right, Tommy. This is the dilemma, right? So think about this. You are going ahead and you're growing these hens. And again, it takes 5 to 6 months before they can actually start laying an egg. And they only lay one egg per day. So again, if your whole flock is decimated and, you know, they haven't even laid an egg, you know, you're out at least 5 to 6 months worth of cost. So yeah, terrific if you're, an egg farmer.
We got a minute left, if we can, Patrick. Talk about grocery prices and the likelihood of them coming down, because I talked about before the break costs being already cooked into what's in the grocery store. Not literally cooked, but you know what I'm saying. Just the likelihood that grocery prices will ever come down substantially at all.
Yeah, you know, Tommy, the United States is the greatest country from a food production standpoint. So, you know, we do a fantastic job efficiency and a productivity standpoint. That being said, Tommy, the big issue is wages are going up. Fuel prices have gone up. They're kind of coming down a little bit, fuel prices. It's the cost of materials overall. So, yeah, I don't see that happening in the near future. I think, you know, it may not be a huge increase, but, you know, it'll continue its trend right now, 2-3%. And then certain foods will go up more, like eggs.
This is not a political conversation or question. It's a logistical question. Will a mass deportation have any effect on food prices or not?
Yes, absolutely. So you need people to, you know, pick the goods or the fruits, the vegetables. So, yeah, that absolutely could impact farmers because they're going to have to hire other people if they can't find labor. And so, unfortunately, wages will go up and that will, you know, increase the cost of food.
Thank you, Patrick. Appreciate your time. Info as always, Patrick Penfield, professor of supply chain practice at Syracuse University. That's a tongue twister. More with Mike Strain when we come back. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen.